Well, friends, good morning, and wonderful to have you all here today. I'm Mark Elfstrand, and I'm here to help set up an introduction for several people who are going to be speaking to you today. You know, some churches have what they call Testimony Sunday, and they actually invite people from the congregation to come up and share their story about how they came to faith. You know, there's something very, very powerful about hearing from people who aren't paid professionals to get up and just share what Jesus has done in their life. We don't always do that around here, but we thought that today, in this time of pastoral transition, it might be good for you to hear from some of the people in leadership here at Christ Community Church, just to hear a little bit about their faith story. Please note that several of us who've grown up in the church, we don't always feel, you know, compelled to get up and do this, partially because a lot of people don't have dramatic faith stories. They've just come to faith gradually, or they were introduced to the faith early in life. You're going to hear some of those perhaps today as well. Well, actually, let me just also suggest that there's three reasons why we thought this would be a good idea. First, this is probably just a good opportunity for some of you, maybe who are a little newer to the congregation, to get to know us a little bit better. And also so that you actually hear what our spiritual journeys have been like, and also to encourage us all to be better prepared to share our faith. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, and yet do it with gentleness and respect." So today, again, you're going to hear from three of five of the elders here at Christ Community and two people who are on the deacon team, and we also think the birthday boy ought to share today a little bit, so we may have him come up for a while. So I'm just going to introduce all of them. They're going to come up one right after the other. First off will be Joel Busker. Joel is the chairman of our elder board and soon to be leaving that role. Joe Sadowskis, who is an elder here. Paul Laus, who's currently a deacon. Peter Lynch, who's a deacon. And as I mentioned, Pastor Ben, and then myself will close. So with that, I'm going to ask Joe first if he will come up and has served us well again as chairman of our elder board.
Thanks, Mark. It's a pleasure to be able to talk today. As Mark said, I'm currently an elder here at the church. My wife and I have been at Christ Community for 20 years this summer. We moved here right after we left college. I left college and started working out here, and so we've been here ever since. I'm probably one of those that Mark mentioned that my faith walk really has been it hasn't been a sudden conversion. It's one that it's been part of my faith the whole life. So I'll just kind of walk through my life and some things that I've experienced. So I grew up not far from here in the south suburb of Lansing, Illinois. I grew up in a family and a community where the Christian faith played a major role in our lives. My family always went to church twice every Sunday without exception. We attended Christian schools. We read the Bible. We prayed during meal times. We always did. It was just something that we did growing up. So it's always been something I've experienced, been a part of my life. As a result, you know, my faith has always been the part of who I am. If I were to describe myself, that was always one thing that came out was first, is foremost, as I am a Christian and how it influenced me. So as I thought about this, I realized that my faith journey really has been part of a generational journey. It's been one that has gone from generation to generation here. So I'll give you a little history of where I came from and a little bit about them, because I think it really influence who I am. So the majority of my ancestors immigrated to the United States from the Netherlands about the turn of the century. So I'm basically 100% Dutch. And the first thing the Dutch people did when they got here is they established Dutch Reformed churches and schools. It was a very important part of their life. It was they were very religious, and Christian educational and doctrinal instruction were very important to me and had always been to them and always been a priority in that community. In fact, where I grew up in the neighboring town of South Holland, I think when I was a kid, a community similar size, the village to where we're at in Plainfield, but they had over 10 different Dutch Reformed churches of various denominations, very similar to the one that we're a part of. So just within that one town, the amount of people that lived there and the churches that were there. And they did this even though a lot of the immigrants, when they came here, were very poor. And they encountered a lot of difficulties when they first arrived. I was talking to my mother yesterday, and she was telling me a little bit about her father when he was a young boy. The whole family went out to Montana shortly after they arrived here. They went out to Montana to homestead. And actually, when they were there, they lasted less than 5 years because year after year, they lost crops due to drought, grasshoppers. They just weren't able to make it. And so when they came back to the Chicago area, they basically had nothing. They actually had to go to the Red Cross to get clothing because they didn't have any money to clothe themselves. But the one thing they still did is they were committed. They never wavered in their faith, and they were still committed to Christian education. So even though they barely had any money, they still sent all 8 of their children through Christian schools. Yesterday she gave me my grandfather's diploma from 8th grade. She had that in a frame, and so she passed that on to me. And so it's really amazing to see that to have that little bit of history of one of the schools that then she attended and that I was able to attend. So my grandfather was also one of the founding members of the church that I grew up in, where he served as an elder, and then he even helped plan the building and actually helped build the building. He was a bricklayer, and he could do other things, and so he helped build the building that I was then baptized in. So it's really neat to see that history. Unfortunately, I don't remember much of him because he died when I was at a young age. I think I was 2 years old when he actually died. But yet, as I've grown up, my grandmother and my great aunts and uncles have always told me how much they reminded them of me. They reminded how much I reminded them of him, and they could see my grandfather in me. So I have very similar skills as he did. I have very similar hobbies as he did. And so it's amazing to see how much a person that I've really never met has influenced my life and how much I've taken after him and how much he's had an influence on my life, even though I've never met him. So I had a very similar situation in my family growing up. We didn't have a lot of money. My parents gave up a lot to make sure that we were still able to get a Christian education. We never had new cars, new bikes. We didn't have those kind of things. In fact, when I was about 10, we even started a grass-cutting business using lawnmowers that my dad had found in the garbage and fixed up, and we started this business, and all of the money that we made went to our Christian education. So we didn't keep, you know, the kids, we didn't keep any of it. We turned it over to our parents. My dad would take us on his day off, and we'd go cut grass. And then we used that for our education. But their perseverance paid off, and I was even able to attend Calvin College, which is a Christian college, which is part of our denomination here. And I was able to attend that, which is just phenomenal considering what they went through. And so my wife and I have been blessed to be able to continue that legacy with our children. Our children are basically the fourth generation of our family since they came to this country, who have been able to attend church and also to attend Christian schools. And so I really think that's an amazing thing. In fact, I think my sister, her kids were the third generation to go to the same high school. You know, one of the things I was thinking about is, while I learned a lot about head knowledge, I call it, about the Christian faith growing up, I don't think I really learned how to live as a Christian until I moved out here and started going to this church here. I knew what I believed, but I really didn't know how to express it. As I mentioned, I grew up in a community where most of the people I knew interacted with me were just like me. They all came from the same background. We had similar faith and were usually related to me. This always made dating in high school a little bit more difficult before, because whenever I would meet a girl, I always had to go home and check with my dad first to make sure I wasn't related to her, because there was always that chance that we were related, and he usually knew. He usually knew whether or not. So fortunately, I met this amazing non-Dutch girl at her, who would later become my wife. So, but because of the way I grew up, I never really learned how to live out my faith in a non-Christian environment. And I first encountered this when I transferred to the University of Illinois. I remember being afraid at first to let people know that I attended church every Sunday for fear that one, I wouldn't know how to explain my faith, or that they would think differently of me. But fortunately, because my wife comes from a different Christian background than me, she has helped me tremendously in this area. She knew what it was like to be considered an outsider when she started attending Ileana Christian High School, where we met. She offered me a different perspective on what it meant to be a Christian. I also began to experience this with different friends I've met in this church. I think you will see through the other testimonies that we all come from very different backgrounds, yet we've been able to come together in this common bond of faith of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I think this is one of the unique things that makes this church such a great place. We're able to draw from our different experiences to be able to better serve this congregation. And even though I've grown and become more comfortable expressing and living out my faith, I still have a long way to go. And I think we all have areas of our faith where we need growth. So my challenge for you today is also to think about the ways where you need to grow in your faith, and think about how we as a church can help support you in that growth. So thank you.
Good morning. My first reaction when I heard the thought of giving up and giving our faith stories here today was, yeah, no way, that's not me. Definitely not. I'm not one who really looked forward to coming up here talking about myself for 5 minutes. And, you know, I started praying about it, thinking about it, and, you know, God started to work within me and spoke through Mark at one of our council meetings. He had some wise words to say about this. And it's not me that I'm up here to talk about for a few minutes. It's about God and about Jesus Christ and about the Holy Spirit's work within me and within my life. So here I am. So I'm Joe Sadowskis, here with my wife, Katie, and we have 3 boys. The older ones are actually at home with the youngest, who's got a real high fever this morning. Not too high, but enough that he needed to stay home. You know, I grew up in the Chicago area, grew up on the South Side, and grew up, as many people here, in the Catholic faith, in the Catholic Church. You know, the neighborhood I lived in, you kind of knew your neighborhood by the parish you lived in. It was St. Bruno's for me. And grew up, something interesting that most people probably haven't experienced, but you actually got to go out of school, out of your public school at about 2 o'clock once a week or an hour and a half early, go over to the Catholic Church, and you'd have your CCD class is what it was called. So it was Christian education. And, you know, we learned the stories. We learned the stories of the Bible. We learned, memorized the Lord's Prayer, memorized the Apostles' Creed, a lot of memorization. I think by the time I was 10 or 11, I had memorized, other than the gospel reading for the week, pretty much the whole Catholic service from start to finish, because it was, it is very much the same week to week, other than the gospel. Now, you know, I always felt then, too, that there's something different, there's something more that I think I didn't find until coming to this church, and that was about 11 years ago now. But backing up quite a bit, you know, after we left Chicago to move to South Dakota for a job for my father, and we didn't go to church anymore after that for a long time, until actually my wife and I came back to this church here. And, you know, some of those years were spent very lost. I was spent years wandering. I had, for years, sort of an intellectual agnosticism where I just didn't know. And, you know, I would have discussions, arguments with my grandmother, and that, you know, thank God for her. She was always very steadfast in her belief and her faith. And that really, you know, along with the foundation of faith established in the Catholic Church there, My grandmother was sort of a rock that didn't change in her belief. I then moved at the age of 17, when I graduated high school, I moved down by myself to Arizona, very far from home, and was very immature at the time, had an incredible lack of discernment, and my focus was totally on things of this world at that time. I was lost in the focus of things, you see a lot of it on TV today, the adrenaline rush type things. So, whether it was jumping off of a cliff, skiing the steepest thing I could find, or rock climbing, skydiving, and partying too much, drinking and other things. In a moment of total clarity, when I was at my own form of a rock bottom, I felt God lifting me up and working within my life very clearly. I absolutely know that. I didn't recognize it for what it was at the time, but it was a spiritual rebirth. And, I was living a life of depravity there, total depravity, and it was only through God's grace that I was lifted up and brought back. And I felt very clearly then, and it was the clearest thing in my life, was that I had to leave that place. I had to come back home to Illinois. My parents lived back here at that time. And find my wife and finish college, which is what happened within the next few years. It was a long and winding road through that. A lot of detours and a lot of the path of God pulling me towards sanctification has been a crooked one. It hasn't been a straight path, and by all means, there's plenty of work left to do by God in that area. Thank God that I found my wife here, and we moved back to the Chicago area after I graduated school, and a couple years later, we still hadn't started coming back to church again, but we bought a new house, and it was being built just down the road about a mile away where we live today. That was about 12 years ago, and saw this church being built at the same time as our house was being built. We thought, well, that would be a great place for us to get back to church and to get back to living a Christian life in the church. And we still didn't do it even after we moved in until our oldest son, who's now 15, God spoke through him to us and told us, when he said, I want to go to the church where we learn about God. And to hear him speak through a five-year-old to us and the difference that's made in our lives over the past 11 years has just been incredible. So I thank God for that and for all the work that he's so clearly done in my life. Now, in the bottom line of the story was I can see, and I really appreciate this opportunity now in hindsight, to really look back at the path God has had for me and where he has pulled me through all the way through this of different paths that I've been on, and that his work has been steadfast within me, and that I was dead to sin, but am now alive in Christ, and it's only through his irresistible saving grace. And Thank you all for the opportunity to come up today. And Paul Louse is going to come up next.
Morning. So, as I thought through the things that I was going to say today, I thought, this is going to be easy. This is no problem. I used to give my testimony all the time. I was in a few Christian bands, so it kind of comes along with the territory. But the more I thought about it, and the more I thought about the testimony that I actually gave back then, it really didn't fit me today. It was a coming to Christ testimony, and I had that, but It's a lot more now. There's a lot more to it. My testimony at this point is more about me coming to Jesus and then running away and then the Holy Spirit coming after me and then I'm running away again and then the Holy Spirit coming after me and then I'm running away again. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit being consistent as he is coming after me. So with that said, I was actually raised in the church. My grandfather was a pastor, and I accepted Jesus at a relatively young age. And I used that as an excuse to beat up on kids that hadn't accepted Jesus. And as you can imagine, that went over really well. As the world beat me back down, and you know they did, I got quiet, and I started to wonder, you know, how much good there really was in this Christianity thing. So I ran. I ran to, you know, rock music and sort of the party lifestyle. And I stayed there for quite a while. But the Holy Spirit is consistent. And he did come after me and slowly pulled me back in. And you know, I remember, I'll never forget, when I came back that time, a friend of mine, Jim, we were in his VW Bug. It was the middle of winter. I'll never forget that because those cars have horrible heaters. He prayed with me, and you know, that was good for them. Now I ran away again, came back more, but I'm not going to really concentrate on that because there's something that I started thinking about when I was preparing this. I started thinking about, why did I run away to begin with? What caused me to initially want to run? And I kept coming back to one thing. When I accepted Jesus the first time, I said a prayer. I was baptized. They handed me a Bible, and they said, "Go on, kid, go save somebody else." Well, that's not enough. That isn't nearly enough. That's not there's not enough preparation there to go out and talk to other people about Jesus. And you know, I think a lot of times as Christians, we get so excited about the you know, new Christian coming to Christ. We get so excited about it and the exuberance, and we think, you know, this is it. But it's not it. That's not the end. There has to be a next step. There has to be training. People have to know how to go out and talk to people. People have to know how to stay in a relationship with Jesus. And that's something that we need to do. That's something that I think as Christians we often fail at. So I guess if there's a takeaway from what I'm saying, it would be this. If you are a mature Christian and you see somebody come to Christ, please, please go up to them and say, "Look, that's awesome. That's great. That's amazing. Now let's go out and have coffee and talk about the next step." People need to be discipled. And if you're a new Christian and you have just come to Christ and you have not been discipled, go talk to the elders, the pastors, you know, talk to a mature Christian and say, "I want to know more about this." You see, I was never discipled. And it wasn't until probably about 5 years ago that I really started getting interested in Scripture and getting deep and wanting to understand what this whole thing that I was involved in was about. And a friend of mine, David, had over the years made a pretty deep investment in me. And Pastor Phil, 5 years ago, made an extremely deep investment in me. And I'm it's a debt I can never repay. And even that he's here today, I'd like to say, you know, thank you. It's a debt I can never repay. But with that said, I just hope that we as a church, I pray that we can continue that. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Peter Lynch, and when we started talking in the council meeting about possibly doing this, I wasn't raising my hand at first because I just wasn't, and then at some point I can't remember why in the conversation I was like, well, wait, maybe I should tell my story because my story is kind of weird, and everybody was like, yeah, yeah, your story is weird. You should tell that one. So I'm the weird guy. So I did grow up in a Christian background, a very religious household. I also grew up Catholic, went to Catholic schools all the way through high school, and we were, you know, at church every Sunday. My parents were very involved in the church. In fact, I think my record for masses in a period of time was I went to 5 in 2 days once. For a bunch of weird reasons, I can tell you later if you want to know. But so I grew up with a very strong Christian upbringing. I was, you know, myself very involved in it. You know, I was an altar boy. I stayed an altar boy long after it was cool to be an altar boy. but as I got into my teen years, I found myself getting more sort of bitter and angry, very sort of cynical. For a number of reasons, some of them theological, some of them personal, but it got to the point where going to church was just, you know, the worst thing for me. I'd sit in the pews and just see that everything that everybody was saying. And so when I graduated high school and went off to college, for me, I was like, okay, I'm free. You know, I'm done with this. But I wasn't done with God. I've never, through my whole journey, I've never lost belief in God, but I did go wandering for a long time. And at the start of it, I think I was really looking for answers. I was like, okay, I want to figure out what this God is and what this existence is, and I'm going to find the answers to that. So I started looking at a number of different religions, found myself drawn to Eastern type religions, Zen Buddhism, Taoism. I spent a lot of time learning about those during my college years, kind of found myself drawn to that philosophy a lot, which there's a lot of details to it, but, you know, I guess a simple way to sum it up would be, you know, God isn't this personal thing, it's an energy that persists, you know, through everything. And I found myself drawn to that. I really liked that a lot. I wouldn't say I was, never really got too much into the religious aspects, probably more the philosophical aspects, but I kind of lived in that space for quite a long time. You know, I never really found myself quite satisfied with it, if I look back and think about it honestly. It was interesting, but it never really felt like there was truth there. You know, if you've never had a chance to learn about or experience other religions, there's a lot of good stuff in there. But I guess for me it was missing what I felt like was like an ultimate truth or something like that. So I do remember one moment, though, and it's kind of interesting when I look back, too, on all the points in my life where, you know, there have been significant points in my life where God's always pushed me in a certain direction. And I remember one of those, I think I was in my early 20s, my great aunt was dying. So she came into our house and we were giving her hospice care. And one night I sat and watched her have a conversation with God for an hour. And it was real, and it was, you know, and I sat and watched it, and I remember coming out of that thinking, like, okay, so you believe that there's this God that's so powerful that it makes up everything that exists, but yet you don't believe it could take a human form and have a conversation with a human, like, and a kind of a light bulb went off, and I'm like, oh, some, you know, maybe some of that stuff that I'm cynical about actually was true. And so, but after that, you know, I kind of floated in a general space for a while. I was sort of like, you know what, I think I'm just going to believe in God, but just do that on my own, you know, and I don't really need religion, I don't need church, I don't need anything like that. And And that's where I lived for a long time. And then my wife and I got married, and she said, I want us to be a family that goes to church. And I said, I don't. She said, well, I do. And she won. And I think it's interesting, too, hearing some of these stories about, I think, how common it is to hear about the women in a marriage bringing the man back to church. And so I think that that's a really great thing. But I remember even at the start, she still jokes about it today. It's not that funny to me, but it was like I finally said, fine. I'm like, we'll go to church 2 weeks, but then the other 2 weeks I'll teach the kids about world religions. And she's like, okay, whatever. So anyway, we started going to churches in the area and tried out a few churches here and kept finding ourselves coming back here. And, you know, it took me a while to get used to. I was like, we're not kneeling, we're not saying, you know, different things. But, you know, kept coming more and more here. This became our regular church. In fact, the week that we decided this is the first Sunday, you're like, okay, from now on we're going to go to Christ Community every Sunday. That was the week that Pastor Fred announced that he was moving on somewhere else. So we were like, oh, okay. But we kept coming. And but the one thing I didn't quite realize during that period of time, which was about 2009, 2010 or so, was that I was in the midst of a pretty deep depression. I was working myself to the bone, working 80-hour weeks. And, you know, I'd spent a lot of my life just solving things by pushing through it, focusing on, you know, okay, I can solve this problem, I can solve this problem. And after a while, it just wasn't working anymore. And Pastor Phil had spoken a couple times from the pulpit about his own experiences with depression. So eventually arranged the time to meet with him. And one of the things about depression is that really, you know, one of the best ways to help it is to talk with other people about it. And that was something that was really difficult for me. I was very, you know, I didn't talk to other people about myself. I kept everything bottled inside. But I was starting to learn that I needed to do that. So I sat and you know, Phil was gracious enough to have me out to dinner, and we talked, and at the end, he gave me a book called The Ragamuffin Gospel. And I took it home, and he's like, you should really read this book. This will be helpful for you. And I have to admit, I didn't read it right away. It sat on my shelf for like a week. But, you know, one night I was having kind of a rough night, and I pulled it off of my bedstand, and I started reading it, and got about halfway through, and I hit a passage that just said, and God will say to you, you are accepted. And it really just kind of hit home to me, and I wasn't quite sure why at the moment, but, you know, and it felt like God was actually saying it. And I think what I realized then was that, you know, I was out here trying to do this thing on my own, but I really needed everybody else too. And that, you know, instead of trying to figure everything out, I just needed to let God be God and people be people, but that as a person I needed other people. And ultimately, I think that's why I never strayed too far from the Christian church and came back to it, is that there is something very unique about Christianity that isn't there in other religions, at least that I've explored, which is this relationship between God and humans, that God actually came down and became a human simply to experience what we are. I mean, that's just really amazing if you think about it. And so that while there's this gap between God and people, God has filled that gap and allowed us to be accepted, to be who we are, but know that we're still loved by a greater power. So anyway, I would not say my journey is by any means complete. I'm still probably one of the more cynical Christians you'd find out there, but you know, I try and I lean on other people who either know more or who are just willing to, you know, I think it's all of us just willing to share our struggles with each other, and so that's my story. Forgot to give you a head nod.
Thanks, Pete. Well, so as we quickly run to the end of our time, So my brief story, and hopefully it has some continuity. Most of you know this. I grew up around Virginia Beach, not too far away from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I lost my accent a long time ago, but I'm a beach bum. I'm laid back. That's who I am at heart. My idea of a good time for vacation is to see an 8-foot wave and just go and throw my arms around it as fast as I can. And in fact, the land scares me. Like, bears scare me far more than anything you find in the ocean. Like, sharks are downright cuddly compared to bears, for the way I see things. But real briefly, so my teenage years. I grew up in a Christian home. So 1996, I'm 16 years old. My mom is diagnosed with cancer. 1997, I go away on a longer missions trip, but I go to Africa for 2.5 months that summer, all summer of 1997. Do that. And that changed the trajectory of my life. That's what led me into Bible college and full-time ministry. And before that, I wanted to be an astronomer, but I'm terrible at math, so you wouldn't want me working for NASA, that's for sure. So 96, 97, 1998, my mom passed away from cancer. In 1999, a year after that, I leave home. I graduate high school, come out to Chicago to Moody Bible Institute, and have been home back to Virginia intermittently here and there, but that's basically it. So in 4 years, massive life change. From earth-shattering diagnosis, saw my salvation clearly revealed to me, calling, lost my mom, left family for school. Not your typical teenage growing up experience, to say the least. But while I was at Moody, this is where Moody Bible Institute, downtown Chicago, was extremely formative for me. I had a lot of anger and bitterness just with those teenage years and dealing with mom's death and all that. But that's really where I grew to a true, deep understanding of God's grace, his namesake, his glory, and it really came to the forefront of my understanding of what it is to be a Christian. But however, as Moody goes on, get married, we start having kids, I'm working full-time at Moody, and I was just a very angry and bitter person, just because I had never dealt with a lot of the issues. It was just year after year after year after year, boom, I'm in college, boom. It just, that discipleship piece that Paul talked about, there was no one ever to walk me through a lot of these things. I had a family, I had a good job. It was a good job with flexible hours. I learned a lot. Actually, I had a chance to work with the NBA there for a number of years and met a lot of the people there. I had all my tangible needs met. Everything was good. And honestly, to this day, I just lost my place. See, I had to take notes on my own life. How sad is that? The turning point came for me, to be quite honest with you. The turning point came. I woke up one day, and I can't tell you why. I just did it. Is I woke up and I started fasting. Now, I had never fasted before. I did the 30-hour famine. For those of you who are familiar, it's basically we get together for 30 hours. We make ourselves hungry so that we understand what it's like for third world individuals who are really struggling starvation. That's not necessarily biblical fasting per se, but I started fasting, and I went for 10 days. And quite honestly, it was a supernatural thing. It was the Holy Spirit. I don't know why I did it. And I learned more in those 10 days than I had ever learned in 4 years of Bible college. And that's the lesson of humility. God had done everything for me. He had constantly, opportunity after opportunity, he had done everything. And this is basically my lesson. Because in the death and the burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ is where growing in our identity with him, I now count it a privilege. Before, it was all about me, my anger, my bitterness, or what I'm going to do for a youth group, or what I'm going to do in passion for the gospel, or this, that, and the other, that I get to take a step back. And that's the humility piece. And why? Because it's not about me. The gospel is not about me at all. It never was about me. It's about him. And through that gospel, it's about others. And when he hung on the cross for our sins, it wasn't about him. It was about you. And humility, I really think, is the most undervalued of all the Christian virtues. I mean, it gets neglected for obvious reasons, but it's the one exhibited most. Read Philippians 2 sometimes. That's exhibited by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we're in Chicago. I'm working a full-time job at the time. I'm going through processing a lot of different things in marriage. Guys, I wasn't the best of husband. How many of you, the first couple years of marriage were rough? We had a couple first years of marriage were a little rough, and Emily and I experienced this wonderful time of healing and growth. We end up out in the suburbs at Faith Community Church, where I met my mentor, Travis Ells, this in close to Carroll Stream, where we came from. And we ran together. We did all. He mentored me. He discipled me. He brought me along and really re-energized and reinvigorated that passion that I had for full-time ministry into the service of others. And it was through that experience in 2011 I was called to be one of the elders in that congregation. And I thought it was an absolute joke. Like, there's no way you guys are calling me to be an elder. That's ridiculous. But back to that humility piece. Because it left me shaken in that understanding that to be a leader in the church is to bring yourself low. It's not sitting on the fence, but it's getting into the flock and serving and loving others. And I had my Martin Luther moment in that time at that congregation. For those of you that know the story, it was the first time I'd done communion many times. I've served in camps and other ministry contexts in the church for a while. But I'm serving communion one day, the first time as an elder, and when I did so, the full weight of the understanding of what we were engaged in as a church kind of came crushing down onto me, that I would speak to somebody, Christ's body broken for you, Christ's blood poured out for you, was just earth-shattering. The amount of, the weight of it and my own sinfulness and unworthiness in that time, was just crazy. But again, it proved to be God's merciful love and grace poured out on me. Because all of my feelings of unworthiness, all of the issues, all of the life, the baggage that we come to in life, it's immaterial to the sustenance and what we gain from Christ himself. But the whole point is that we're all unworthy. We can't do it on our own. And it's taken me a long time to actually, to know this intellectually, but it is far different to knowing it in the heart and feeling it, having it be a palpable, visceral sort of thing. So when we went to Moody Bible Institute, we had one goal, Emily and I, full-time ministry to the enjoyment and glory of God. This has been affirmed, it's been reaffirmed, and we've been strengthened by Christ in the monotony of life. We've struggled, we've earned paychecks, we've changed poopy diapers, we've lived in the monotony of suburbia. You have had good times, bad times, and yet we are continually humbled by a God that's greater than us. So her and I, we both thank the Lord so much for these lessons, because we certainly could have been led down the path. We could have bought into the lie of just blanket religiosity, this sort of, good, just be nice, just do good things. But to really be entered into that grace and to experience that grace and mercy in relationship of our Lord Jesus Christ, is so very powerful. And now we're here at Christ Community. And what a joy it is to see each of you each Sunday, to worship with you. I've not prayed with every single one of you, but those that I have, to pray with you. And the thing is, my story, the elder's story, it's all a part of the larger story of God's working in all of our lives. Despite our circumstances, despite our baggage, the lessons of humility that I've had to learn, there's lessons that you're learning, and that's a comforting thing, that God is so lovingly guiding us along in closer relationship to himself. So, and to the high schoolers who are graduating or on, it's that truth too, and humility, that there are no straight A's in life. You know, you can get straight A's through school, but there's no straight A's in life. But in Christ Jesus, you know what? It doesn't matter, because he's ever and always there. So that's my testimony. Mark?
Well, don't get nervous. I'm not going to share mine today. We'll save that for a later time. I'm going to ask the worship team if they'll come up, but just a couple of notes before we close. I think it's important within a congregation, and really we've talked about this or had this conversation a little bit over the last few weeks, to realize that this is not a, there's a group over here, which is a combination of pastors and church leaders, and then there's a group of people out there. There's really just a fellowship of believers. And so all of us have a story. We're on a spiritual journey of one kind or another. And maybe you're at the beginning of a spiritual journey, or maybe you're in a little farther point. Maybe you got to a point, and like others of us in the room, you're struggling either with doubt or frustration or bitterness, or there's something holding you back from moving forward. The point of having fellowship here is to come with all that and see if we can't resolve those things under the great and glorious grace of God. The commonality of all the messages you've heard this morning from these five people is that there is a center person. Phil preached on his name, and it will be forever, Lord willing, his name in this congregation, in the precious name of Jesus, who died, resurrected, and with that has given you the hope of eternal life. So I hope these stories a little bit encouraged you with the reality of the lives of people who are in leadership here. And with that, let's get set to close out our time together with worship music, and then I'll have a closing prayer.